Welcome to worship. The words to the music and the summer creed included in this worship service are below. If you scroll down, you'll see them in the body of the text of this sermon entry. Note that our Zoom room is open for Holy Communion at 11 o'clock. So if you prepare bread and wine or grape juice, join that prayer room by clicking the link below. Communion will take place from 11 to 11:15. We'll have a time of fellowship from 11:15 to 11:30. From 11:30 to noon, we have a time to talk about the sermon and about the texts and about worship, to a time of feedback and a time to connect with the pastors and with other people thinking about these things. So we hope that you'll engage in these things as you feel like that's appropriate for you. Again, we hope that you're blessed by worship.
O Holy One, hear our prayers, confessing all that lies uneasily in our hearts. O Holy One, help us to admit that we are broken, broken by fear and hate, by apathy and greed, broken by sorrow and anxiety.
Mend the broken places and make them stronger.
O Holy One, we miss the people that used to be a part of our lives. We grieve the death of our beloveds, the dying of our friends, the estrangement from family, relationships lost because of time and distance.
Help us to put aside the past hurts, to reach out, to reconnect, to reconcile. Help us to the life that lies beyond death.
O Holy One, we are lost and cannot find our way home. The path we're on seems unfamiliar and frightening. We have wandered from our true self. We cannot see where you are leading us, if you are leading us.
Come and find us. Rescue us from the frightening places.
O Holy One, there is just too much, and we are so anxious about it all, about war, about fire and flooding and earthquake, about politics and division, about scarcity, about loneliness.
Infuse peace and serenity in our hearts.
O Holy One, we are so proud of our accomplishments that we are blind to the victories of others and blithely ignore you as the source of all gifts. We think we can do it all on our own, and our egos are so puffed up. Everything seems a competition, and winner takes all.
Open our eyes to the wonders of the people around us, and remind us that you empower all of us.
O Holy One, we are locked up in cells of our own making, and in the prisons our culture creates. We are bound by correctness and tradition, by habit and niceness, by norms whose usefulness expired decades ago.
Free us, liberate us, release us from the bondage that limits our full expression of love and faith and humanity.
O Holy One, our fasts only make us think about what we miss and do not point us to you. We give up sugar or screens or alcohol, and we feel not humble but self-righteous. And we know this is not the fast you choose.
Lavish us with grace so that we may accept all your bounty in humility and gratitude. O Holy One, there is so much that is not right. Too many live in poverty and fear and neglect. Too many live without love. Too many live enraged.
Remind us that you have claimed the world and us as your own, good and beloved and redeemed.
Amen.
I will call upon the Lord by Michael O'Shields. Thank you.
Let us pray. Healing and compassionate God, your hands hold gently all creation. Your touch brings life in the face of death. Your love transforms destruction into grace. Touch our lives with your Spirit, bringing new life and hope so that we may live and serve you with joy and praise. Amen.
A reading from Luke, chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Not long after that, Jesus went to the village Nain. His disciples were with him, along with quite a large crowd. As they approached the village gate, they met a funeral procession. A woman's only son was being carried out for burial, and the mother was a widow. When Jesus saw her, his heart broke. He said to her, "Don't cry." Then he went over and touched the coffin. The pallbearers stopped. He said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." The dead son sat up and began talking. Jesus presented him to his mother. They all realized they were in a place of holy mystery, that God was at work among them. They were quietly worshipful and then noisily grateful, calling out among themselves, "God is back, looking to the needs of his people." The news of Jesus spread all through the country. The word of the Lord.
ELW 500, Now We Remain.
Each
5. Listen, God, please pay attention. Can you make sense of these ramblings, my groans and cries? King God, I need your help. Every morning, you'll hear me at it again. Every morning, I lay out the pieces of my life on your altar and watch for fire to descend. You don't socialize with wicked or invite evil over as your house guest. Hot air boaster collapses in front of you. You shake your head over mischief maker. God destroys lie speaker. Bloodthirsty and truth bender disgust you. And here I am, your invited guest. It's incredible. I enter your house. Here I am, prostrate in your inner sanctum, waiting for directions to get me safely through enemy lines. Every word they speak is a landmine. Their lungs breathe out poison gas. Their throats are gaping graves. Their tongues slick as mudslides. Pile on the guilt, God. Let their so-called wisdom wreck them. Kick them out. They've had their chance. But you'll welcome us with open arms when we run for cover to you. Let the party last all night. Stand guard over our celebration. You are famous, God, for welcoming God-seekers, for decking us out in delight. The Word of the Lord.
From 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 17. Later on, the son of the widow of Zarephath became sick. The sickness took a turn for the worse, and then he stopped breathing. The woman said to Elijah, "Why did you ever show up here in the first place? A holy man barging in, exposing my sins, and killing my son." Elijah said, "Hand me your son." Then he took him from her bosom, carried him up to the loft where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. And then he prayed, "Oh God, my God, why have you brought this terrible thing on this widow who has opened her home to me? Why have you killed her son?" 3 times he stretched himself out full length on the boy, praying with all his might, "God, my God, put breath back into this boy's body." God listened to Elijah's prayer and put breath back into his body. He was alive. Elijah picked the boy up, carried him downstairs from the loft, and gave him to his mother. "Here is your son," said Elijah, "alive." The woman said to Elijah, "I see it all now. You are a holy man. When you speak, God speaks a true word." Word of God, word of life. About the worst thing that can happen to a preacher who is preaching on a Sunday with 2 stories about 2 women whose sons die and then are raised to life, is to have someone they know lose their son. Well, that's exactly what has happened this week. Our sympathy and our prayers and our love go out to Baiba Yutaka, whose sister Maya lost her son this week. He was killed in a fishing accident and he drowned at the age of 16. This is a terrible thing to have happen to a preacher, but it's a worse thing to happen to a mother. And in many ways, there is nothing that we can say. we can turn and look at these stories in Scripture of Jesus, who sees the woman crying, knows it's her only son, sees this whole procession of him, of them carrying this son to his burial place. And he comes to the mother and he says just about the worst thing that a pastor could say to someone who's lost their son, which is, don't cry. And then we also have the story of the widow who loses her son, and she turns in anger to Elijah and says, why have you done this to me? Because it certainly would have been better for her if she and her son had eaten that last loaf of cake and then died together, rather than to survive starvation only for her to watch her son die and for her to survive. These certainly are terrible, terrible times. But we can also turn to this story for Elijah's response. Elijah says to the woman, give me your son. Now that can cause us all to pause and to think, who do we give our sons to? In life and in death, who do we give them to? Because ordinarily we don't give them to anyone. We hold them dear. We hold them close. We protect them and provide for them. And of course, we hope and pray for their long lives. We hope that we die in the proper order, meaning that parents die before their children. But whenever a parent loses a child, perhaps it is appropriate to ask the question, who do we give our children to? In death, all we can do is weep and wail and to throw ourselves on God's mercy, to pray that our broken hearts would somehow not be the death of us too, that the people that we have lost would be given into the care of the living God. We hope and we pray that we can entrust them into the arms of God who promises resurrection life. Elijah says, give your son to me. And then he takes the widow's son to his upper room. He lays him out on his own bed. And then he stretches his body across the body of the boy. Not once, not twice, but three times. He cries out to God in anger. Why have you done this to this woman? Why have you taken her only son? She has been so kind to me. She's been caring for me. You sent me to her. Why have you allowed this? In our grief and in our anger, we have every right to cry out to God in such a way. Why, O God, have you done this? Where, O God, is your mercy? Of course, in both of these stories, we see the resurrection power of God at work. The widow of Nain's son sits up in the bier. And the son of the widow of Zarephath sits up in Elijah's bed. Elijah takes the boy downstairs and he gives him back to his mother, the scripture says. And Jesus says to the widow of Nain, woman, here is your son. He gives her son back to her. In our time, we have very little evidence of resurrected power. We're called to lives of faith. We're called to believe in that which we cannot see. We're called to say to Maya, commit your son Patrick into God's care. God is big enough for your heartbreak. God is big enough for your loss. God is big enough for your anger. God is big enough for the emptiness and the loneliness and the hole in your heart that will walk with you until your own death. But we are also called to believe that God's resurrected power is at work. It is at work whether we can see it or not. this very moment, Patrick rests in the arms of the one to whom he has been committed, to the God of life and hope and power, to the God of mercy and justice and peace, to the God of resurrected life. And so, as it turns out, this isn't a sermon just for widows who've lost their sons, but it's a sermon for all of us. For all of us stand in that liminal space, lingering near the graves of those that we have lost as we approach our own. That liminal space in which we spend a lot of time wondering if God's promises are true. But it's also that liminal space in which we're called to have faith. We're called to grow eyes to see God's resurrected power at work when in fact we cannot see it. That's what faith is. And so, people of God, entrust your sons, entrust your daughters, entrust your children, entrust your parents and your grandparents, entrust all whom you love into the arms of the living God, the powerful God of resurrection life. And while you're at it, give God your heart, your anger, your questioning and your wondering, your pleas for mercy and justice. Give it all to God and live a life of faith, knowing the God of resurrection power and mercy is at work, whether we can see it or not. Grace and mercy be to those of you who mourn, and to all of us who've lost someone that we love. Our resurrected God is big enough for all of it. Amen.
On Eagle's Wings, ELW 787. Thank you.
The creeds of the church are public professions of faith. Mostly they're ancient, but we also find our faith and our belief resonating with modern creeds. And so we profess our faith in the words of the creed, God the Provider. The words are below.
We believe in the God who provides for our every need, who has an answer to our deepest questions. And a purpose for us in life. Today we praise God, the Provider. We believe in Jesus Christ, our Holy Brother, who stands by our side when light turns into darkness, who suffers our pain and turns it into a blessing. For the presence of Christ in our lives, we praise God, the Provider. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, who inspires us when our spirits are dried up, who creates something new when old structures crumble. For the spirit of hope and renewal, we praise God, the Provider. Amen.
Gracious God, you do hear our prayers. At least we hope and believe that you do. And in hearing them, you take them into your immense heart and shower light and love into these people who hurt, and these people who rejoice, and these people who wonder. We hope and believe that prayer changes things, and we pray for change in the world, that poverty would be changed into abundance, that swords would be changed into plowshares, that anger and fear would be changed into compassion and trust. We hope and believe that prayer changes us too, that cancer cells would be changed into innocuous little things, that prejudice would change into humility, that bones would mend and hearts that are broken would become stronger in their scars, that mourning would, in the right time, in a year or an eon, turn into dancing. And so we offer you our prayers this day, these spoken ones and those unspoken ones that have settled into our hearts, if not yet into our voices. God of companionship, encourage our relationships with our siblings in Christ. Bless our conversations, shape our shared future, and give us hearts eager to join in a festal shout of praise. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. God of abundance, you make your creation thrive and grow to provide all that we need. Inspire us to care for our environment and be attuned to where the earth is crying out. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of mercy, your grace is poured out for all. Inspire authorities, judges, and politicians to act with compassion. Teach us to overcome fear with hope, meet hate with love, and welcome one another as we would welcome you. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of care, accompany all who are in deepest need, especially mothers who have lost their children. We pray especially for Baiba Yutaka sister Maya, whose 16-year-old son drowned this week. And we pray for all who linger near the portal between this world and the next, especially Larry Hoogie, who's in his last days, and all who love them. Strengthen those who cry out to you for resurrection hope and whose cries are not heard. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of healing, comfort those who are sick, lonely, or abandoned. Strengthen those who are in prison or awaiting trial. Renew the spirits of all who call upon you. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of community, we give you thanks for this congregation. Give us passion to embrace your mission and the vision to recognize where you are leading us. Teach us how to live more faithfully with one another. And teach us to take others' pain and carry it as our own, crying out to you for your resurrection, life, and healing. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For what else do the people of God pray? Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of love, you gather in your embrace all who have died. Keep us steadfast in our faith and renew our trust in your promise that you will bring us all to resurrection life in the life to come. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those that are too deep for words, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Receive a blessing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen.
This hymn is found in Worship and Praise. Our confidence is in the Lord. Thank you.
Just as Elijah pleaded with God for resurrection power, go forth in the world to carry the hurts of those around you and to cry out for God, demanding justice, healing, hope, and life for the sake of the world and in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. In a completely open and unrestricted social world, we would be celebrating this week two great festivals, one national, Canada Day, and one local, the Calgary Stampede, the greatest outdoor show on earth. But in this socially isolated and restricted world, we still celebrate. We're proud to be Canadian. We're proud to enjoy the freedoms, privileged to enjoy the freedoms that Canada affords us. And I pray you will find a way to celebrate Canada Day in safety. And regarding the Stampede, well, we have a little virtual surprise for you. There will be a virtual Stampede on our church website that will be posted beginning July 3rd. It will cover the entire ordinary time frame of the Stampede. There will be plenty to do there. Some rodeo activities, a grandstand show, well, a way to have barbecue and Stampede breakfast. You can visit the Southwestern Oasis and Austin North and the Rockin' Cola stage. So we invite you to get on your best Western gear, to check that out and do a little bit of advanced preparation that you might put some Stampede spirit into your week, even though you're home. Stay safe and enjoy the virtual Stampede. Yahoo! And happy Canada Day.